last Wednesday was on December 8th, is Buddhist Enlightenment Day. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, great. So on Buddhist Enlightenment Day, we recognize and honor Shakyamuni Buddha's awakening and express our gratitude for his teaching with a special service. This year, Sue hit the drum for us, rang the drum for us, invited the drum for us as we chanted the Heart Sutra in Japanese, and it was great. We really all enjoyed it. Yeah. We also on this day mirror Shakyamuni Buddha's sitting under the Bo tree with our own zazen. So when we sit zazen on this day, we are sitting together with the Buddha. Always we're sitting together with the Buddha, but on this day we're sitting together with the Buddha under the Bo tree. So today I thought I'd speak of Buddha's enlightenment. I did actually consider saying that we honor Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment and realization today by asking you all to just go away and sit under a tree, or spend this time reflecting on what Buddha's enlightenment means to you. So you would take this chunk of time and spend it considering this and sitting under a tree. We sit zazen a lot inside, but sitting outside is really lovely. So, do it. Anyway, I decided against that and decided I would talk. It's good to reflect on our ideas about enlightenment, but that brings us no closer to enlightenment or awakening. It just gets us closer to our ideas about it, but not closer to itself, because awakening, Buddha nature, is already closer to you than you. It's your being. It's your true nature. So today, I'll talk in circles, kick up some dust, confuse us all with words and images and stories. But that's our human way. We're mixed up. And in that mixed up, we find a way that is beyond our ideas. Or letting go of our ideas. So I ask you to be easy. Rest in the understanding that you're already there. That is the most true thing ever. And that realizing that is our life of practice. So here we go into deeper into the mire of words and ideas. Awakening is sometimes related to the term nirvana. You probably have heard that. Beyond the, not the rock group, but the Buddhist teaching. It's a tricky word that brings up notions of endless bliss, right? That's often the way, but that's not correct. The meaning of nirvana is flame blown out. Burning passions and delusions that keep us bound and lead us to suffering are extinguished. In India, at the time of the Buddha, a flame was understood to be an aspect of the atmosphere that burns fitfully until it's released back into the cool air, into the spaciousness of the air, the world in which we live. In other words, nirvana is a returning. The flame is already a part of the atmosphere, and that means that even as we burn fitfully, we are part of everything. Burning fitfully depends on the presence of air. There's no distance between the two. And yet they're distinct. I think sometimes we feel as if we are burning fitfully in our delusions of separateness. Especially during this time, with the loss of what many of us have assumed was normal, we have come face to face with change and many challenges and losses, large and small, over and over and over and over and over. We think somehow something's going to change, and wham, it doesn't change. Over and over. And so for those of us with an affinity for Buddhist practice, we have become, I think, acutely aware of the need to recall these teachings, these life-giving teachings, day by day. Tendo Nyojo wrote A Buddha's Journey. This is from Dogen Zenji Shobogenzo Ganzei. He wrote, "For 6 years, Shakyamuni stumbled on through the weeds of provisional truth with the determined spirit of a wild fox. He would leap with his whole body, only to become entangled in delusions, vines." With the determined spirit of a wild fox. Foxes are tricksters. They are determined, they're wily and strong. Shinshu and I were just talking the other day that we still have fox consciousness about where we leave our shoes, because at Tassajara, when you leave your shoes outside your cabin, they inevitably come and steal one shoe. And then you see them up on the hill. One shoe, all these one zori, one boot. So the spirit of a wild fox is strong, determined, and wily. We also read that Buddha put his whole life into his way. He leapt into it with his entire being. He became entangled again and again and again and again. And that entanglement taught him. He learned. And in the end, he sat down, just sat down. It is said he recalled, sometimes, this is one of the stories, right? That he recalled an experience as a child when he went with his father to a festival. And when he was tired of all the activity, he found a tree away in the woods and sat down. As he sat, he listened. He listened to all that was around him. He heard the birds and the rustling of the leaves, the other children playing at a distance. He felt the earth beneath him, supporting him, and a gentle breeze. He listened, and as he listened, he grew quiet and felt how close he was to everything, how much a part of everything he was, and he realized he could rely on that. He could always return to that. So it said, after his determined journey on the many paths he hoped would lead him to peace, this stumbling person with the spirit of a wild fox who leapt with his whole being remembered his experience as a boy sitting under a tree and what it felt like to deeply listen to reality, to hear all being, and know that in that listening he was joined, never apart. And so he sat down. He sat down under the bow tree. I can imagine him entangled in the vines of delusion, simply sitting down with determination. He sat through the dark, and in the dawn he saw the morning star. Or the morning star saw him, or both. Nirvana appeared. Suzuki Roshi tells of Buddha's enlightenment, so please listen to the words of our elder. So finally, he went and sat under the Bodhi tree, where we say he attained enlightenment. We say he attained enlightenment, but it may be better to say he completely forgot everything. He had nothing in his mind at that moment. Then he saw a morning star rising up from the east. That is his enlightenment. But when he saw the morning star, that was the first thing he saw coming out of his empty mind. That is why he was so joyful, why he experienced such joy at the sight of the morning star. In other words, he shared some feeling, Buddha's feeling, or the morning star's feeling. We don't actually know. It is difficult to analyze what is the Buddha's feeling or the morning star feeling. That is not possible. Anyway, he shared the feeling with the morning star. Shakyamuni Buddha, morning star, not separate. An empty mind is not a mind that is dull or asleep. It is a mind that is open and willing and sees it all. A mind that is in a responsive relationship with morning star, with all being. That responsive relationship, that living responsive relationship, awakening. The morning star is there all the time. It's never absent. It is just that we do not see it sometimes. That is the way of things, isn't it? In particular, we do not see it in the light. We see it in the dark, in the dawn. We have to be willing to sit in the dark, in the midst of entanglement, in the vines of delusion, and to be open, to be aware. And we have to trust that the morning star is there, always, always there. Last week, I attended a Zoom interview with a retired colleague and mentor of mine at the Institute of Buddhist Studies, Graduate Theological Union, where you guys know I teach. His name is Reverend Seigen Yamaoka. Reverend Yamaoka is also the former bishop of the Buddhist Churches of America, the Jodo Shin denomination in North America. He is quite a humble man and a wise one. He would likely be very embarrassed or resistant if he knew I was invoking his words as an expression of enlightenment. But he's not here, so I can do that. or I will do that. Reverend Yomoka is 87, and in this conference, in this interview, he spoke some of his journey in the Dharma and some of our practice of the Dharma. About his own journey, he said that after his family was released from the internment camps, he was 12, he, as he put it, hated everything Japanese. Japanese food, Japanese clothes, Japanese language. He said, all I wanted was to be American, even though he was born in this country, American, which meant he wanted to eat hamburgers and speak English. But in a very interesting winding way, he says he was herded, herded by reality into studying Buddhism here and in Japan, and ordained as a Jodo-shin minister. And he became a leader of his tradition. If you came to our school while he was still there, you would likely overlook him. Unassuming, he would be found sitting in his office studying a text, having a bit of chocolate and a chat with the administrative staff. He liked to do that. Or meeting with a student. When we were there, he would come into my office and we would talk of ordinary things. A student's progress, a meeting coming up, changes at the GTU. But this ordinary conversation was always shot through, steeped in this down-to-earth way with the Dharma. Inevitably, he would say something deeply wise and inspiring to me. We would be talking about a meeting, and then we would go off into Shinran and Dogen, and not in an intellectual way, but in a way that spoke of our deep commitment to try and realize Buddha's teachings. Always, always, he would inspire me. I considered this a great gift, a Dharma gift, a bit of awakening, wandering into my office in the shape of an elderly, simple man. One of the reasons I tell you this is because we cannot assume awakening is bright and shiny, or that it comes in a particular form. And the Dharma is always coming forward, if we can see it. Reverend Yomoka said of his path, nothing great, no shining light, just plodding along. But what is this plodding? It is not dull plodding. It is simply putting one foot in front of the other, following the Buddha's path. One comment he made in his interview stuck with me with regards to our topic today. He said, everything is open. Unless you get out of being caught in yourself, you cannot see that openness. Everything is open. Unless you get out of being caught in yourself, you cannot see the openness. It's, I think, really worth reflecting on this statement. Everything is open. Our heart and mind is boundless already. No need to manufacture anything. When we focus on our small self and the stories and narratives that we tell about the way things are, we cannot see or experience this boundless openness. The openness contains our small, narrow view. There is nothing that needs to be expunged. No need to get rid of anything. How could you? Where would it go? Reality is reality. Tell me where it would go. This openness is vast and inclusive. And in it, we transform who we think we are and how we think we're related to everything. Just allow yourself to trust the boundlessness of your heart-mind. We do not need to pretend to be other than who we are. In fact, as Reverend Yamoka reminds us, he said, never discount whatever you are doing. Whatever is in you to do, do. Do what you are doing as yourself. If it is baking cookies, bake cookies. Okay, let me read that again. Never discount whatever you are doing. Whatever is in you to do, do. Do what you are doing as yourself. If it is baking cookies, bake cookies. That is the Dharma path for you right now. Nothing extra. Again, Reverend Yamoka, keep it simple. Keep it simple. In our practice, we ask ourselves to be honest, humble, and true to the way. We entrust ourselves to the path of the Buddha. We entrust ourselves to the boundless heart-mind of each moment. We bake cookies with this mind, and they are a gift to all beings. There is no end to this path of realization. We are never apart from the whole of reality, never ever, and everything changes. So there's no end to our learning and growing and our realization. Living this each day, each moment realization, we stumble and we have the spirit of a wild fox with Shakyamuni Buddha. We leap forward with our whole body entangled in deluded vines and realize all of it. Vines, morning star, self, all beings, openness beyond our ideas of awakening. This is not something that we know in the usual way. It is something we live. So I encourage you to be humble, be simple, walk with Reverend Yamoka and all those that are beside us and guide us on the path. Trust that awakening is not apart from you. There is nothing you need to add to who you are. No attainment needs to be accomplished to grant you entry into an exalted realm where you will be changed into a perfect being worthy of awakening. Have you ever had that thought? I am going to be perfected, and at that point, I will be worthy of awakening. It's not like that. That idea of the path is entanglement in the vines of delusion. So when it or any other idea that you have about who you need to be arises, just sit down in the midst of them. In this way, you will see openness that is always there, the morning star and the path we walk together. This is a pilgrimage. It's a journey of awakening that is never what we think it will be. That's a guarantee. Guarantee. Ehe Dogen's poem, Zazen Go Eka, Zazen Pilgrim's Hymn. This is a song that's sung in Baika. Baika is a way of singing and ringing bells. It's quite lovely. Zazen Pilgrim's Hymn, parentheses, pure mind. The moon in the water of pure mind, when the waves are broken, they become light. They become light. The moon in the water of pure mind, when the waves are broken, they become light. they become light. Each moment, waves broken become light. The moon, the image often used for enlightenment, shines fully in the water of pure mind. Notice he doesn't say on the water. When we see the moonlight reflected in the water, that light is not separate from the water. Both together. And the water is the waves. Again, not separate. These waves break. That is the nature of waves. The light pours forth. That is the nature of reality. In our pilgrimage of day-to-day practice, enlightenment is never apart from us, and yet it must be realized each moment. Our awakened nature is never apart from us. We can trust that fully, even as we are tangled in vines of delusion. Never apart. So let us follow the guidance of Shakyamuni Buddha and a very wise man. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Never discount whatever you are doing. Whatever is in you to do, do. Do what you're doing as yourself. I mean in that, and I think Reverend Yomoka means your whole self, not your idea of self. Never discount whatever you are doing. Whatever is in you to do, do. Do what you are doing as yourself. If it is baking cookies, bake cookies. Entrust your life to this life, the boundless openness that is your true nature. Sit and walk and live with this enlightenment.